Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel, Sarah, and I'd like to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. It is now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel, Salika Hawkins, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the future priests and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. With that, I'd like to turn over to Daughter of Yisrael Abel, Sister Batakia.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Batakia, and today I'm going to talk about conformity. So first of all, what is conformity? Conformity is changing the way you think, feel, and act in order to fit in and be accepted. People will naturally conform to what their friends are doing or what is popular in society. We conform because we want to fit in or because we want to be accepted, but we need to be careful of what we are conforming to because conformity can be either positive or negative. Before you conform to anything, you should stop and ask yourself, is this something I really want to do? You should never conform to something that is wrong because it can cause hurt or harm to yourself or others. So now let's take a closer look at conformity. Positive conformity is when you are encouraged to obey the proper authorities, keep yourself and others safe, and when you are encouraged to support and practice moral values. For example, you and your friends got permission to go to the fair. While there, some of your classmates who you've always wanted to hang out with approach you and invite you to join them in the parking lot for a few beers. You really want to be accepted by them, so you decide to go. But your friends talk you out of it, reminding you that drinking at your age is against the law, and if you get caught, you can get thrown off the fairgrounds and escorted home by the police. Your friends also remind you that your parents trusted you to go to the fair and to stay out of trouble. Realizing that they are right, you say no and stay with the friends who you came with. So that is positive conformity, but negative conformity is when you are encouraged to disobey authority, compromise your safety or the safety of others, and when you are encouraged to go against moral values. For example, your parents give you permission to visit your friends. While at your friend's house, some other friends invite you to a cool party. When you walk in, you realize that everyone is doing drugs and getting drunk. Not wanting to feel left out, you join them. So that's a wrong choice, and it's negative conformity. Remember, negative conformity is conforming to something that can cause harm to yourself or others. There are some things that will greatly influence what we will conform to. For example, peer pressure. Peer pressure is one type of influence that plays an important role in what we will conform to. Peer pressure is very powerful. Studies have shown that in order to fit in, people choose to change the way they behave and do things that they would never consider doing on their own. Conforming to negative moral values can result in making bad choices that have terrible lifelong consequences. Other things that influence what we will conform to are the media and entertainment, such as TV, movies, music, and internet. We need to guard our minds to make sure that we are allowing only positive influences in and rejecting and keeping out the negative ones. Carefully consider what you choose to entertain yourself with. Movies and music that are violent or promote risky behavior will not build moral character. So instead, we should choose positive activities such as studying the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, getting involved in helping out in your community, and practicing to become a positive leader. There is one more thing you should know about conformity. Standing up for what is right will sometimes require a lot of courage. There may be times when you are the only one out of all of your friends who is trying to do what is right. Even in situations like these, you must continue to stand up for what is right, even if you are the only one left standing. Having knowledge, wisdom, and a plan will give you the confidence you need to stand your ground. Set your mind in advance that you will not let anyone talk you into doing something that is wrong. Reading from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit, page 68, it says, "You do not need to compromise positive morals or character for the sake of friendship. In fact, you can have even better friends by practicing the lessons learned from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program and standing firm on true moral values and positive character. However, if you recognize that you have conformed to something wrong, it is okay to change and conform to something positive. You are urged by the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program to become a leader yourself in guiding others to safety and teaching positive morals and character. Then you will have many loyal friends. So be prepared by making the full use of the knowledge you have learned from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, and you will have the strength and determination to never conform to an immoral choice. And in conclusion, I'd like to leave you with a quote from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Negative conformity is not the path to choose. If you follow this path, you will hit a dead end. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Stand up and speak out to all with a positive voice. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to one of the daughters of Visual Able for prayer.
Please raise your hand. Our Father in heaven, whose name is God, this is your daughter, Saint Zachary, praying for you, Thurman, Pastor Hawkins, Yeshua Messiah. Excite you, bless the lips of the speakers who are speaking today. Excite you, help us to pay attention so we can get the knowledge we need to teach the 2 billion when they come. Excite these things in unity with the body of Kohanas, the seed of the witness, Yeshua Messiah. Hallelujah, we praise God. And now I turn it over to the men.
And with this, I'll turn it over to a daughter of Yisrael Abel.
Shalom, everyone. Today we have some wonderful speakers who have put forth a tremendous effort to bring this out to you today. Are you excited? So please pay close attention and take notes. And with this, I will turn it over to the first speaker, daughter of Yisrael Abel, Deaconess Azania.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So my name is Deaconess Azania, and my title today is When Life Hands You Stress. Well, I'm pretty sure it all sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Well, in the Peaceful Solution Acceptance Unit, it talks about when life hands you lemons. And most of those lemons are stressful situations. And some stressful situations can be, like, you have to get a lot of things done within a certain time or that day, and you don't get it done. Or even setting a goal and having, you know, setbacks and feeling that you can't achieve your goal. And sometimes you probably feel like you want to give up or maybe even quit. So when life hands you lemons, what do you do with it? Do you throw it away? Well, in the Peaceful Solution, it says to make lemonade with those lemons. So when life hands you stress, make something better out of it. Well, how can you make something better out of stress? First, by thinking positive. Because when you, for example, if you have a lot of things you had to get done within the day, and you know, you only have negative thoughts, and some of those thoughts can be like, you know, I didn't get this done, I didn't get this accomplished, you know, I have a lot of more things to do, and I had no time. Then you don't see the things that you did already get done. And thinking positive will help you to have a more clear mind and help you to start to manage and prioritize the things that you need to do first. And then it'll get rid of some of those stress because you actually know that something is getting done. And another thing that can help with stress, especially when you think you can't reach your goal, is to be determined. And determination, from the Webster's Dictionary, it says, a quality that makes you continue trying to do or achieve something that is difficult. So determination will help you to keep going and not to give up on your goal, even if it's extremely difficult. Now, how many of you had been stressed out and come to find out it was all a misunderstanding? Okay, I did. Well, sometimes we just think a little too much, and most of those thoughts are negative. You know, some of those thoughts can be like, why is she looking at me like that? Or did I do something wrong? Oh, maybe I should redo it. Or, well, hold on, I might just be in her way. So all those thoughts are coming in your mind, and, you know, all those negative thoughts. are coming into your mind. And sometimes we overly think about the situation when the situation wasn't even all that bad. So we're stressed for no reason. So when life hands you stress, don't overthink. Just stay positive, be determined, and turn that stress into something better. And with this, I'll turn it over to a daughter of Yisrael Abel.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Deaconess Cynthia, and the topic I chose to speak about today is learning to accept yourself and the importance of setting goals and having purpose in life. So many teens today have struggled with being insecure and having low self-confidence and comparing themselves to others. This leads to so many of the problems that we see in the world today, for example, bullying, judging others, eating disorder, jealousy, cutting, depression, and getting involved with the wrong crowd, just to name a few. I actually have a personal experience in this. In my preteen and early teen years, I had a lot of insecurities and I just didn't accept myself. I was always looking at other people and comparing myself to them, wanting to be who they were or what they had. And I found myself copying these people, trying to dress like them, talk like them, act like them. I thought if I was like them, then they could like me and then I could like myself. I was miserable. I hated my life because I was always making myself miserable by worrying about what other people thought and being so negative. I got into so much trouble at this time trying to fit in with the crowd and be accepted by others. I didn't believe in myself. I had no goals and no positive direction in life. And this is why I feel so strongly and believe it is so important for people, especially teens, as this is the time when we are the most vulnerable, to learn to accept ourselves, to be comfortable in our own skin, and to be confident in who we are, what we believe and desire in life, and to have a positive self-concept. Now, when I say have a positive self-concept and be confident, I'm not saying that we should be proud or conceited or think of ourselves more highly than others. But if we are thinking negatively, we aren't going to go anywhere positive in life. If we don't accept ourselves, we won't have any positive direction in life. No goals, nothing to live for, and we will be more likely to make poor choices. If we can't accept ourselves, we will never be joyful. Now, the first step in learning to accept ourselves is to change the way we think. If we think negatively, we will live a negative life. Instead, we should focus on the positive. Replace our negative thoughts with a positive scripture or quote that is easy to remember when those negative thoughts start to creep in. In Genesis 3:9, it tells us that the desire to sin is with us, but we must overcome it. Comparing ourselves to others. I saw this quote once that said, wanting to be someone else is a waste of the person you are. And when I saw that, I was like, that is so true, because Yahweh created us all as unique individuals. He didn't want us to be that person that we think is just so cool. So instead of trying to be someone else or comparing ourselves to others, we should just try to be the best us we can be. Instead of looking in the mirror and picking out all of the flaws, all of the things we don't like in life, we should focus on what we can control. Focus on becoming the unique person that Yahweh wants us to be. We can't always control what occurs in our life or our circumstances, but we can control our choices. We can choose how we let things affect us and how we choose to deal with it. We have to choose not to let things negatively affect us, but to grow from them. We have to choose to make the most of every situation, and the way we do that is by finding out who we want to be and what we want to accomplish in life and set goals to get there. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Respect Unit on page 26, it tells us that self-respect is knowing who you are, what you stand for, and what you value. Knowing who you are and what you want to accomplish in life gives your life purpose, meaning, and value. It gives you something to work towards. It gives you the confidence to get through life and to make the most of our lives. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 5, it says, "In such confidence we have through Yeshua towards Yahweh. Not that we of ourselves are adequate to think of anything as originating from ourselves, but our ability and power comes from Yahweh." If we seek acceptance or confidence from others, we will be let down. By focusing on the person that Yahweh wants us to be, we will never go wrong. We should find our confidence in Yahweh, accept the person He created us to be, and set goals for ourselves to become the best version of ourselves. And with this, I'll turn it over to a daughter of Israel.
My name is Arakia White. You may be seated. Today my title is Your Choices Will Make or Break Your Future. I will be in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit, page 131 through 136. Every day we make choices. These choices can be as simple as to what color t-shirt to wear to school, or they can be more important to skip class or to shoplift to see if you can get away with it. And some choices mean the difference between life and death, like experimenting with drugs and alcohol. You have the power to control the choices you make. You will also explore the outcome of both negative and positive choices in your life. Your choices have an effect on your future, whether positive or negative. Have you ever heard of the age of accountability? This means that although you are not yet an adult, you are responsible for what you think, say, and the actions you do. Knowing the difference between positive and negative influences will help you make choices that you will not regret. If your friend asks you to come over to study for your upcoming test, this is a positive influence. If you are faced with having to make the choice between a positive negative influence and a negative influence, stop and ask yourself these questions. Number one, will this hurt me, myself, others, or the environment? Number two, will this choice have a positive effect on my future? A true friend would not influence you to do something wrong. You must lead others. You are the person that has learned the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Influence your friends to do the right thing instead of allowing them to influence you into a situation that you will later regret. Standing up for these forms of negative influences can be hard, especially if you care what your friends think about you. But this, if you choose negative influences, it will ruin your future and your life. But if you choose positive, you will have the future that you hope for. Sometimes you feel if you don't go along, you'll be left standing alone. Always remember, self-control is the ability to carefully consider a situation before making a decision. As human beings, we are given the amazing power to reason and consider. How many of you have made a mistake before? Okay, so I see some people with their hands and feet in the air. But we have to learn from these choices, right? Okay. So we won't make them again. We have to make right choices to achieve our future. A choice I want to make in the future is I want to be a mom, and I want to be a positive example to my children, and I want to help them to have a positive future so they can grow up and help their friends have a positive future. And you can do this too if you learn the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And you can change someone's life for the better. There is always a ripple effect, whether positive or negative. Our choices are going to affect our future. Let's say if Sarah stole some headphones, when Sophie went to buy them, they would be more expensive because they would have to replace what Sarah stole. I encourage you to make the right choices all the time so you can help others so one day they can look at you and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Thank you for your time, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. My name is Deaconess Azania, and today I'm going to be talking about influences. My title is Don't Fall for the Pitfall. Influences is something or someone who has the ability to affect your attitude, way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Value plus influence equals character. and being aware of what you are allowing yourself to be influenced by. Remember that a negative influence can cause harm to others and yourself, but a positive influence can bring rewards to all. On page 68 of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Character Unit, Junior High Teacher's Manual, it says, entitled Remember, Violence In, Violence Out. The average 18-year-old will have watched over 200,000 acts of violence on TV alone. Approximately 4 million adolescents have been victims of serious assaults, and 9 million have witnessed serious violence during their lifetime. Movie studios, record companies, and video game producers are aggressively marketing violent entertainment products to children. So with that in mind, do we see how TV, music, video games, and stuff like that can influence us in the wrong way? A lot of teens in today's society turn to violence or suicide to solve their problems, just to name a few, because they were placed in front of the TV, in front of a video game, or listened to music when they were very little, even before they were born. So a way we can fix this is to put reinforcements, positive reinforcements, around wherever we are from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. We could put it on our walls, on our mirrors, even on our screensavers, on our phones. Just to help us be more aware of the influences we are putting in our minds. I encourage you, don't fall for the pitfalls. Don't let yourselves get trapped in these snares. And parents, I have a note for you. Teach us, guide us. Don't just place us in front of the TV when we're little and when we get older. But please take the time to show us that you care. By teaching us to be a teacher of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Because you are our role models from the time we're born to the time we leave the house. I invite you to join us, all of you, to come and join us, because we have the answers. And with this, I'd like to turn over to a daughter of Yahweh, daughter of Abel, next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My name is Future Priestess Tikva, and today we're going to be talking about bullying. I looked up bully in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and it means to frighten, hurt, or threaten a smaller or weaker person. I'm going to be reading out of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Acceptance Unit, Chapter 4, page 72, under the heading, Bullying is Bad News. Did you know that there are some people who actually take pleasure in hurting others? They have yet to learn the peaceful solution, which means showing respect for one another and having healthy interactions to build lasting friendships. Instead, they steal the right of others to be safe and rob people of the opportunity to make friends. They're called bullies. It is common knowledge that bullying is a problem in schools today. If you are the bully, think about your actions. Choosing to belittle or hurt others for fun or just because you can is cruel. Picking on, teasing, or physically assaulting someone can affect him or her for life. But guess who else it will affect? You. Studies done on adults who bullied others as children prove that they were ashamed of their actions. Many of them longed to go back and change the way they treated others. Hurting someone is a no-brainer. It takes far more intelligence to interact in a positive, healthy way. And like Pastor Yosha Hawkins said, he told us that raising your fist to hit someone shows that your mentality is lower than a goldfish, and that striking with a fist will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh. You don't wait until you have grown up to realize that your actions are hurting others. You can change your behavior and begin to interact with empathy and concern now. Now, let's see some examples in the scriptures of bullies. Please turn over to page 7 in your books of Yahweh. Page 7. And that's Genesis 10, verse 8 to 9. Verse 8. Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. That is the system. And then in side note G1, it says, Nimrod was a cruel oppressor and a tyrant. That is the system, oppressed the people. And he was a tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod the tyrant who deceived and turned against Yahweh. That is the system. Now let's turn to page 3 in our books of Yahweh. That's Genesis 4, page 3, Genesis 4. And I'm gonna paraphrase it. It's where on a Sabbath day that Cain and Abel brought an offering to Yahweh, and Yahweh only accepted Abel's offering, and Cain became very angry. And Yahweh asked him, Cain, why are you downcast? Why are you angry? And in verse 8 it says, Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were spread abroad, that Cain rose against Abel his brother and killed him. Now in R1, it says, Cain started an argument with Abel, striving and contending with Abel, looking for an excuse to kill him. They did the same thing with Yahshua Messiah. They look for every excuse to kill him because he exposed their sins. They also tried the same thing with Yisrael Hawkins. They look for every excuse to kill him, even to the point where they put it on the news that he was dead. They're going to catch him on the road, leave his car, and he would never to be seen again. Now notice when Yisrael Hawkins and Yahshua Messiah, when they were bullied, they never did or said anything to retaliate. He said, Yahweh, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In conclusion, I'd like to remind you, keep the same mindset like Yahshua and Yisrael Hawkins had when they were going through their trials. And with that, I'll turn it to the next thought of Yisrael Abel.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I'm Leah. My title is Do Unto Others. If you will please turn with me to Ephesians 4:31. That's on page 918. Ephesians 4:31 says, Let all bitterness, wrath, rage, anger, clamor, brawling, and evil speaking, gossip, slander, blasphemy be put away from you, along with malice. All those things that it's talking about are forms of bullying. The definition of a bully from dictionary.com is a blustering, quarrelsome, overbearing person who habitually badgers and intimidates smaller or weaker people. Here are a few facts about bullies. 1 out of 10 students drop out of school each year. Harassment and bullying have been linked to 75% of school shootings. 1/3 of today's youth have a fear of walking through the gates of their school Monday through Friday. Now, you shouldn't want to be scared. You don't want to go to school and be scared. You want to go there and learn. So it's because of the bullies that they're so scared to go to school each day. About 52% of students attempt suicide because of bullying. Suicide is the second ranking cause of death for individuals 15 to 24 years of age. There is one completed suicide for every 15 attempts. Suicide is a permanent result. It's a permanent solution for a temporary problem. Just remember, it doesn't have to end in suicide. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit, on page 73, it says, Simple solutions for dealing with a bully. If you are a victim of a bully, then you are facing a difficult and challenging stage in your life. But do not give up on yourself or people in general. You must determine not to allow how others treat you to change your positive moral character. Always treat others the way you want to be treated. Studies have proven that adults who were the victims of bully agree that learning to let go of their past rather than dwelling on it enabled them to accept that although there are people who take advantage of and mistreat others, there are also people who are kind and compassionate. This has enabled them to lead successful lives. So there is people who are going to bully you. But if you go home and you think, okay, when I go to school tomorrow, I'm not going to let this bother me. They're going to say things that hurt me, but I'm just going to think, okay, they can say that, but it's not going to hurt me. The reasons why most bullies bully is because they have insecurities about themselves. Here are some suggestions to help you cope if you are in a situation where you are bullied. Try your best to ignore the bully. Be determined to treat others the way you want to be treated. Seek counseling guidance, and do not give up on yourself and others in general. Here are a few helpful hints to help yourself from being bullied. Do not carry a weapon. Retreat from the bully if possible. If cornered, speak in a firm, positive manner. Do not appear timid or scared. And do not stand around watching others get bullied. Get help. In Ephesians 4:32, and this is also on page 918. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Yahweh, for the Messiah's sake, has given you." Now I turn it over to another daughter of Israel, Abel.
All right. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So sit at the edge of your seat, put a smile on your face, sharpen your pencil if you need to. Okay, today I'm going to be talking about the effects of depression. Now, what is depression? Well, depression is a mood disorder causing a persistent feeling of sadness, loss of interest, hopelessness, and helplessness, a decrease in activity. Now, there's what's called neurotransmitters in your brain that are involved with mood regulation, such as serotonin and dopamine. Now, when these transmitters aren't balanced properly, then depression is a result. So what causes depression? Well, there are physical, mental, and environmental factors that can cause depression, such as abuse, drugs, alcohol, loss or death, major events such as divorce or moving, losing a job, losing income, or personal problems such as social isolation. And these are just a few examples. Now, how does depression affect thinking and behavioral patterns? Well, a person who is depressed has low self-esteem. They have an I don't care about anything attitude, and it affects the way they think about themselves and others. Thoughts like, I can't, I won't, I'll never, nobody likes me anyway. So what? I don't care. These are thoughts that will tear your body down. So people who are depressed, they doubt their ability to succeed in life. They have no motivation to change, and they deprive themselves of the opportunity to improve for the better. So the result of depression and the effect it has on health. Well, depression causes a lack of energy, an increase or a decrease in sleep and appetite, emotional numbness, pain, irritability, or social withdrawal. So think of your body as this huge, complex computer, okay? So your brain is the motherboard of this whole entire system at work. Every function is controlled by your brain. It's the control panel of the whole entire thing. The genetics, the things that you can't change, that's your hardware. For example, your skin color, your eye color, your height, your size, things like that. Character traits are your apps. You can install them, download them at any time. Your influences, environment, and the things that you do have control over, that's your software. For example, you can download and install the character trait of respect. And by opening it and using it, you program your computer to comport in a certain way. Negative thoughts, influences, environment, bad habits, this is what your it's called your malware. Malware is a program that is intended to damage or utterly obliterate the whole entire system. Negativity, it will shut your body down. So the cells in your body, they react to everything that your mind says. Negativity will bring down your immune system. So the anterior cingulate is the conflict resolution area of your brain. Prefrontal cortex, I just love that word. Prefrontal cortex is involved with planning and executing activities. And the hippocampus is a small part of the brain that is vital to the storage of memory. These are all parts of the brain that are affected by depression. So what's the solution? The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Use self-control to control your emotions, not let your emotions control you. So when a negative thought enters your mind, you, I, have the power to choose it. So we're going to do that right now. Are you excited? Yes. We're going to call this thought assessment, okay? So I'm going to say a negative thought. And every time I do, y'all are going to say, stop. You're not going to think like this. What are you going to say? All right, so, I can't do anything right.
Stop, you're not going to think like this.
I won't succeed.
Stop, you're not going to think like this.
I'm not worth it.
Stop, you're not going to think like this.
So what, I don't care.
Stop, you're not going to think like this.
I don't like this.
Stop, you're not going to think like this.
Wow, y'all are on your toes today. So now we're going to replace those with a positive thought. Are you ready? So every time I say a positive thought, you're going to repeat after me. What are you going to do?
Repeat after
me. All right. So, I can do this.
I
will succeed.
I will succeed.
I want to change.
I want to change.
I am worth it.
I am worth it.
I am valuable.
I am valuable.
I care.
I care.
So I just want to leave you with something real quick. It's called, if you fail, don't give up, because fail means first attempt at learning. End is not the end. In fact, it means effort never dies. If you get no as an answer, remember, no means next opportunity. So let's be positive. With this, I'll turn it over to the next daughter, Visual Able.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Deaconess Sarah. You may be seated. What comes to mind when you hear the word friends? Do you think of someone who is shy or talkative? Do you think of someone who can build up your character or tear down your character? Or do you hear your parents telling you to be careful with who you're around? Well, today, me and my friend are going to be explaining what a true friend is. Friends influence us more than we realize. But in today's society, they are chosen based on personality. Today we are going to redefine friendships, starting with how to choose friends based on character. Proverbs 12, verse 26 reads, "The righteous should choose her friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray."
So, just what is a friend? A friend is someone who is supportive, who corrects you when you're wrong, who encourages you and helps you to reach your goals. Now, what are the steps to developing a friendship? In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit, page 63, it gives us the steps to developing a friendship. The first one is the observation stage. Observe how this person interacts with people. Are they kind? Are they respectful to their authorities? And do they make right choices? Step number two, the introductory stage. Introduce yourself and have a friendly conversation with this person. Step number three is the get-to-know-you stage. Get to know how this person interacts with their authority, what choices they make, what they do on their spare time. Do they study, or do they just not do anything at all? If you can please turn over to Jacob 4, verse 4. Jacob 4, verse 4. And it reads, "You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is at enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, whoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh." Now, this should be your deciding factor. Now you know that if this person is a friend of Yahweh, if they keep Yahweh's laws, that you want this person to help you along to reach your goals. Remember that friendship must be mutual. It can never be one-sided. Both parties have to be willing to help each other to reach their goals and enter into the kingdom of Yahweh.
In Proverbs 18, verse 24, it reads, "Friends can be your ruin, but a true friend is closer than a sister." Also in Yochanan 15, verse 14, it says, "You are my sisters if you obey the laws of Yahweh." And that's truly what a real friend is.
In conclusion, I have a poem that I'm going to read to you. It says, "Friendship is a priceless gift. It cannot be bought or sold, but its value is far greater than a mountain made of gold. For gold has no ears to listen, no a heart to understand. But true friends bring you comfort and a helping hand. So when you ask Yahweh for a blessing, be thankful if he sends not diamonds, pearls, or riches, but the care of a true friend." And with that, I'd like to turn over to next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Deaconess Rachel, and I have a very important question for you. Are you a leader or are you a follower? I want you to keep this in mind. Are you a leader or are you a follower? In society today, there are two kinds of people. Leaders lead by example, and followers. A follower is someone who follows another in regards to his or her ideas or beliefs. Your teachers, your parents, and your older siblings are just some examples of models. Many young people look to celebrities as life examples, regardless of how they act. As a result, we see scenarios such as the use of illegal drugs, underage drinking and smoking, being disrespectful to parents, may fall victim of abuse, loss of friendships, can't get a real job, failing grades, skipping school, racism, stereotyping, and crime, such as shoplifting, arson, robbery, and graffiti, just to name a few. Many young people look to role models for help, to save them from their problems. For example, music. It helps them forget about their true problems in life. And think they can get away with just anything. Many young people get themselves in most trouble when they act impulsively and make irrational decisions. And the consequences stay with them for the rest of their life. If we want a role model to look up to, let's look up to Yahweh and the things that he's done for us. Let's turn over to Psalms 191, 2-7. On page 470 is 190, no, Psalms 90, verse 2-7. We say to Yahweh, "You are our refuge, you are our fortress. You are our Father, and you we will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you." We see Yahweh is our only protection. Let's turn over to Romans 5:2 on page 876, Romans 5:2. "Through whom we have gained access to the faith and to this unmerited pardon in which we now stand. And let us rejoice in the hope of the glory of Yahweh." So with Yahweh, we have hope and safety. We must value Yahweh. He gave us many things. Now let's test that. Everyone stand. Okay, everyone take a deep breath in. Now let it out. Yahweh gave you the breath of life. Now you may sit. Genesis 2:7, on page 2, it talks about, "And Yahweh formed the man from the dust of the earth, from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils, and the breath of life, and man became a living being."
I would like to remind you to be aware of your role models and make sure they support you as you build your positive character. Now let's take a page out of my book. What are models? Models are optimistic and diligent to educate and lead others to succeed in life. So who are you? So remember, models are people who help you succeed in life. Do you remember the question I asked you in the beginning? Only you can answer it. Are you a leader or are you a follower? Choose wisely. Now I'll turn it over to the next daughter of Israel Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Debriah, and my title is The Choices You Are Making Today Are Making Your Future. I'm going to ask you all a question. You don't have to answer it right now, but I do want you to write it down. My question is, where or how do you see yourself in 10 or 15 years? It is okay if you don't have every detail planned and laid out. I know I don't. But it is very important for you to have at least an idea of how you want your future to be. If you have this, it acts as a compass and it points you into the right direction. Without it, you can easily be led in all directions and make choices that you'll regret, either because they made it very difficult or even impossible for you to achieve your goals. Once you know what your goal is, or once you know what your purpose is, you should write it down along with a date, and a date or a time range that you would like to accomplish it in. This is your goal. Now you need to break this goal down into the steps it will take to accomplish it. Do this and you have a plan. If you back that plan with action, you can achieve your goal. I'm going to read from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Junior High Acceptance Unit on page 131. It says, "Every day you make choices. These choices can come in many forms. Some choices are simple. For instance, deciding what color t-shirt to wear to school. Some choices are important. For example, a friend could ask you to skip class or shoplift an item just to see if you can get away with it. Some choices could mean the difference between life and death, such as experimenting with drugs or alcohol." Now, choosing what color t-shirt to wear isn't going to have a big impact on your future. A choice like skipping class is one that could make it very difficult for you to achieve your goals. But a choice like experimenting with drugs or alcohol could make it impossible. Finding a purpose in life, having an ultimate goal, can help you to weigh the consequences or rewards of the choices that you are making today. On page 145 of the same book, The Acceptance Unit, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program gives us a few points to keep in mind when we are faced with the more important choices. It reads, "Whenever you are faced with a choice, consider the consequences of your actions. Consider the goals you have set for yourself, and then make a decision that will not bring harm to yourself, bring harm to others, jeopardize your goals, or risk your life." One thing that I like to ask myself is, what I am doing right now getting me closer to where I want to be tomorrow? So today, I want you to be thinking about the question I started off with. What is your purpose in life? Where do you see yourself in 10 to 15 years? I want you to think about it until you have an answer. And when you get that answer, I want you to write it down and start thinking about the steps that it will take to achieve your goal. And then back it up with action. Remember, the choices that you make today are making your future. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next daughter of the show.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Deaconess Menora, and today I'm going to be talking to you about true friendship. In society today, we see so many young people choosing friends based on personality and not their character. So let me ask you this question. How do you know if someone is a true friend? A true friend is someone who respects, supports, encourages, and accepts you as a unique individual. Friendship involves knowing others' personality and their character. Friends know others' likes and dislikes, interests, goals, and desires. A true friend involves a shared sense of care and concern to see each other grow and succeed in their lives. True friends are trustworthy, which takes time to build. They are also faithful and loyal and encourage each other to always make the right choice. Yahweh gives us examples of what a true friend is in 1 Samuel 20. These two men cared for each other and trusted each other. Yahshua Messiah is also a perfect example of a true friend. He gave his life for us. Father Yahweh is the greatest friend of all. Yahweh tells us how to be his friend in 1 Yochanan 15:12-14. If you could turn over to Yochanan 15:12-14. It says, "This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life on behalf of his brothers. You are my brothers if you do whatever I command you." To love one another so much that we would be willing to lay down our lives on behalf of our brothers and sisters. At any time, no matter what. Yahweh's law should be a friend to each and every one of us too. Even though we go through so much tests and trials and persecution, this is the time that we need each other the most. So we can encourage each other to endure until the end, like Hebrews 12:24 tells us to do, to consider one another on to love and righteous works. To leave you with, I'm going to read a poem from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Acceptance Unit on page 104. Life is a journey. With purpose in life, we can succeed. Of negative conformity, we must take heed. For life is a journey that we must take based on our character and decisions we make. With a smile, we can ease the burden of another's mind. With strong shoulders, we can help leave troubles behind. We breathe each day without any thought, but must learn well what our day has taught. How we choose to relate to one another can make a difference between foe and brother. Our journey is full of those in need, and we can bring peace by planting a seed. Of kindness and truth taught far and near to change hearts and minds everywhere. Life is a journey that we are privileged to take. Hopes full of treasures, hopes, and friends we make. So let us encourage one another to endure until the end so that we can come into unity and make it into the kingdom together. Remember, friends are firm, rooted, unstoppable, encouraging never to stop or break down, and never to give up. I thank you for your time, and I'll turn it over to a daughter of Israel.
Shalom, you may be seated. My name is Deaconess Leah, and I will be talking about reputation. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his actions, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. As teenagers, we are known by our actions. It is called a reputation. It can be positive or negative. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Respect Unit, on page 147, says, "Reputation is your overall character as seen or judged by others." Let's do a reputation evaluation. Please number your paper from 1 to 5. Ready? Number 1, I choose friends that are positive, moral, and respectful. Always, sometimes, or never. Number 1, I choose friends that are positive, moral, and respectful. Always, sometimes, or never. Number two, I obey instructions with a positive attitude. Always, sometimes, or never. Number two, I obey instructions with a positive attitude. Always, sometimes, or never. Number three, I use a respectful tone of voice when speaking to others. Always, sometimes, or never. Number three, I use a respectful tone of voice when speaking to others. Always, sometimes, or never. Number four, I am helpful and considerate of others. Always, sometimes, or never. Number four, I am helpful and considerate of others. Always, sometimes, or never. Number five, I complete all tasks to the best of my ability. Always, sometimes, or never. Number five, I complete all tasks to the best of my ability. Always, sometimes, or never. You can find the full evaluation in the Peaceful Solution Respect Unit on page 164. If you chose sometimes or never in response to any of these questions, then you have the opportunity to improve your reputation. Now that we see we have some areas of opportunity, let's take a look at what it takes to build a positive, respectful reputation. Have a purpose and goal in life. Become educated. Be determined to change. Be disciplined enough to make a positive change. Consistency is the key. To top it off, let's add our self-control. We can't live without it. No is okay. You become just like the company you keep. Think about it. Why would you want to be around people who disrespect themselves and others? There's so much more to life than that. Choose not to be in the company of people who do negative things. It's better to stand alone than to stand with others who can influence you to make choices you will regret. Have positive role models, people you can look up to who will guide you towards what is morally correct. As teenagers in the House of Yahweh, we are positive role models for others. Teenagers in the House of Yahweh, we have a positive reputation. When we go out in public, we carry ourselves respectfully, and we don't do things to draw attention to ourselves. It was a few months ago, I was at the local fabric store, and I never thought it would occur to me. You always see it on the news, but there was a lady shoplifting. I was scared, okay? I never thought it would occur to me when I was in the store. And she had her bag, a big bag with her, okay? Not like a normal bag you take. And she had scissors. She took a bolt of fabric off and cut the fabric and stuffed it in her bag. And me and my sisters were there, and we were like, oh no, what is going to occur? And we told our parents, and they're like, you have to tell someone. So we told the manager, and she's like, that occurs all the time. She just let the lady have the fabric because it was only like three workers in the store, so it wasn't big enough to have a fight about. And I never really thought about that. When I was working on my speech, I was like, I have to have a story. I have to have a story. I had no story. And then I was reminded about it, and I was like, but how does that tie into your reputation? Well, now every time I go into the store, I'm greeted with a smile, by name, and how are you doing? And the people in the store know that I'm not going to steal, and I'm respectful, and I watch out for others who are strangers to me, but they feel like we can communicate better because they know I'm not going to be disrespectful. There's eyes all around us. People are watching us all the time. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Character Unit on page 90, it's the last paragraph. People are observing you at all times, whether you realize it or not. The more others observe you, the more together they put a picture of what you're all about. So as you strive to maintain your character, your positive moral character, you'll maintain a positive moral reputation at the same time. Your friends affect your reputation. It takes a lot of hard work to build a positive reputation. One wrong or negative choice can damage your reputation. We are known by the company we keep. So let's continue to build a positive, respectful reputation. Thank you to the greatest teacher in the world, Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Please stand and welcome another daughter of Yisrael Abel.
Welcome everyone, you may be seated. I am Bethany, and the topic of my speech is on positive and negative influences. Influences, something or someone that has the ability to affect your attitude, way of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Some influences could be your school, family, friends, books, movies, and even music. Some things your friends can influence you to do include skipping classes, smoking, drinking, doing drugs, and other risky behavior. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says that bad company corrupts righteous character. Carefully consider what you value and decide if your values are positive or negative by asking yourself these questions. Can this cause harm to myself or others? Does it go against what I know is right and healthy? Can this have a negative impact on my future? Or will this help me to build a positive character? Negative values will keep you from developing a moral character. So be careful about what you value. With so many negative influences in today's society, it can be challenging to obtain a positive character. This is where having someone who has a moral character to imitate really helps. Imitating others is something we all do. We all have someone that we look up to and admire. As babies, we imitated our parents in how to speak, when to smile, how to eat, and so on. As we grow older, we become more aware of our environment and others around us. We begin to notice things about them that we like and admire. Someone who you admire and imitate is called a role model. A role model can be someone your age, an older sibling, family members, and teachers. That's just a few. Can I have my acronym?
Okay, so this is for influences. I is impacting, N is negatively or positively, F is fully ready to cause others to, L is lean towards, and you understand, able to, E, affect later, or N, now, C, causing to change how your E, eyes view the world.
Thank you. Influences come in all different sizes. They can be positive or negative, subtle or bold. But the one thing they all have in common is they all have the ability to affect what you value and affect your character in either a positive or negative way. It's your choice. And with this, I'll turn it over to another daughter of the joy.
Shalom. If you want to be a positive leader for the rest of your life, you may be seated. My name is Naomi, and today I'm going to talk about positive leaders for a lifetime. There's many leaders, like we just heard. Some of them are leaders for a little while, and then there's some that impact you for the rest of your life. Well, when I was thinking about my speech, I said, well, there's a lot of positive leaders that I look up to, but there's one specific person that will stay with me as a positive leader for the rest of my life and the rest of hers. And it started way back when I was in second grade, which is kind of a while ago. And I started a new school, and you know how when you go to a new school, you're really uncomfortable, you don't know anybody, so you don't seem to fit in. And I didn't fit in for a long, long time, and still probably don't. But being there became something I didn't enjoy. I didn't feel welcomed, I wasn't greeted. It wasn't a friendly environment, and I started getting to the point where I really didn't like going to school. I would sit there and count down the minutes until it was time to leave. And I woke up one morning, and I just did not want to go to school. I was so upset. And my parents were like, you're going to go to school today. You're going to go to school today. Everything will be fine. You're all ready. You're going to go. I get there. I get out of the car. I start crying. And I just cried the whole entire way up the steps getting ready to go into school, and I look up and I stop, and there's somebody there that I haven't seen in my class before, in my school before, and she sees that I'm crying, and she comes to me and she says, oh no, everything is going to be okay. Today, we're going to make it a great day. And then I just stop and look at her, and I'm like, no one's ever greeted me like this before when I come into school. No one makes me feel welcomed. This is different. And then she says, you're going to come to my class today. And I'm like, okay, so that's a little bit different too. I'm going to a different class. And I get to her class, and she starts off by having everybody share their name. They say one thing about them. So there's a completely different environment from what I'm used to. And I was like, wow, this is really a great leader. She makes everybody feel welcomed in her class. We follow the rules, but we have a really fun time at the same time. And so I really realized that she showed genuine care and concern for her students, and she really wanted to be there, and that came forth through her actions towards us. And so I wanted to go to school every day after that. I was waking up saying, is it time to go to school yet? Can we go to school? And even though I'm not in her class anymore, I'm not in second grade, I still look up to her as a positive example, and I still see her all the time. And I'm like, do you remember when? And I asked her the other day, I said, did you know that at that time, the way that you were with the class, you were impacting me for the rest of my life? You were leaving a mark on me and made me want to go and become a positive leader for others? She said, no, that's what I did all the time. She did that all the time for her students. But because of her positive example, that made me want to go and be a positive leader for others. So I want you to think about a positive leader that you look up to. What do you like about them? Are they patient, respectful, responsible, honest? Do they show care and concern? Who are you a positive leader for? And when I wrote down that question, I kind of stopped and I was like, okay, so who am I a positive leader for? And you know how I hear people laughing, but you know how people always say you lead by your example. Well, for the longest time, I thought the only people that followed my example were my younger siblings. I don't know if anyone else kind of thought like that, but then one day someone came and they said, do you know that children and other people watch you? Like specifically, she has a few little girls, and I didn't know that they liked me or that they talked about me or that they were only here for a short time. 3 times a year, they only get to come. And she was like, they love you. They talk about you. They like you. And I'm like, hold on, and you're saying that I'm an example for them too? And she's like, yeah, you are. And so you are an example for other people, not just for your younger siblings or your older siblings and the people you're with every day. You're an example for everyone that watches you. So what positive characteristics do others see in you? Do they see you showing genuine care and concern for those around you? Do you use your words to build up and encourage others? Are you responsible for your actions? So I found an acronym, and it's in the Peaceful Solution Character Unit on page 133, and it says leadership. L, learn. Learn all you can about the world around you. E, encourage. Encourage others to do their best. A, attitude. Your attitude counts a lot. Let it be positive. D, diligent. Be diligent. Never give up. E, excellent. Strive for excellence in all you do. R, ready. Be ready to be that positive moral. Be ready to be an example, a positive moral character to others. S, sure. Be sure that your values are positive and moral. H, be humble. Even leaders have to be followers. I, initiative. Take initiative and make the right decision, even if no one else will. And P, positive. Maintain a consistent positive character and attitude. One person who is a positive leader helped me to realize I was valuable and could be a leader also. In 2 Samaya 2:24, it says, a servant of Yahweh must not strive. Rather, he must be gentle to all, capable of teaching and patient. Each and every one of you have the same ability to be that positive leader who can change someone's life forever. I want to thank the greatest leader and teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Abel Hawkins. If you're ready to be a positive leader, please stand and help me welcome daughter of Yisroel Abel.
You may be seated. Whenever times are rough, you need me. When you grow up, you need me even more. You're constantly looking for me, but you can't find me. Who am I? I am hope. Shalom, everyone. My name is Keturah, and today I'm going to be talking about hope. Please turn over to Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25. It reads, for we will be saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope at all. For why would one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with enduring persistence. What is something you hope for? What is something you want to achieve? We eagerly wait for hope because when we have a purpose, we have hope and we feel hope.
I'm going to be reading in the Peaceful Solution Care to Education Program preface, and it reads, "Everyone needs direction, but the early teen years are those when children actually seek direction primarily from outside the home. Most children during these years feel they know everything their parents know. Therefore, they will listen more closely to those outside the home, thinking they will learn things that the parents do not know." Over to the usual Hawkins press release that was released June 26, 2015, was entitled, We must learn to truly love our children if we want them to succeed. We are bombarded with influences, whether it's TV, magazines, the internet, pictures, or video games. But when we hit this age, the teenage years, we are taking everything we've heard, we've saw, and we are becoming our own person. Now, I'm going to read in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program character book on page 117, which is entitled, "Positive Character Also Ripples Outwards." If one person can learn the value of having a positive character and treating others with compassion and respect, it gives hope that others can as well. If we are that one person who learns to value ourselves and treat others with compassion and respect, we can give someone else hope that they can do the same as well. Now, if you can please turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts, plans that I have for you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of destruction, to give you the future you hope for." When we hope for things, we should make them long-term. We should stop and think how they're going to affect us as well as others. And remember, everything we go through, every situation is for a reason. It's going to benefit us. We may not see it now, but as we grow older, we will. Now, by trusting in Yahweh, we find hope, as you will find in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, and Jeremiah 17, verse 7, which says, "Blessed is a man who finds hope. Blessed is a man who trusts in Yahweh, whose hope is in Yahweh." And that is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, found at page 587. So whenever we're going through something, we're struggling, we cry out to Yahweh because He is our hope. Now, if you'll please turn over to Yochanan, Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, it reads, it's a parable of the mustard seed. It says, "He said, to what can we compare the kingdom of Yahweh? What parable can we use to describe it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is the smallest of all the seeds in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs. It puts out such large branches that the birds of the air come and nest under its shade." We were that small mustard seed. And when we really only learned the things of righteousness and we studied, we grew up. And the people and the birds are the people that came and nested on that tree were the people who saw our righteous examples and found hope just like us. So I have an acronym for HOPE. H is for House of Yahweh, O is for offers, P is for peace and ease eternally. House of Yahweh offers peace eternally. Stand strong and endure until the end because there is hope. And with this, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Deacon Shimon. Today, the title that I chose is Yahweh Gives the Young People in His House a Choice. Remember the words of the Savior in Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And your salvation depends on your choice." And I want you to remember that because that choice has been mentioned several times today. Now, to start off with it, you know, when you think about the plan of Yahweh, it's really big, right? And I want you to remember that to have any understanding of any prophecy that we're taught through Ezra Hawkins, it is a blessing from Yahweh. Because not everyone's minds is open at this time. And, you know, Yahweh offers the young people in His house so many wonderful blessings to be able to not have to go through the sin and defilement of the world. And if you look around, you know, I look at, you know, the Kohanas and the judges and the people who have grown up here, and they seem like they, like, you know, I can do that, you know, I can. And then you go ahead and you think of the whole plan of Yahweh and look at the ones that made it in Yahshua's bloodline. You believe they were once children, young women, young men. They were brought up and raised up through a time where they were very young. And you can see that in the scriptures. You know, you have Samuel, you have Rhea, and all the other people. And yes, the parents did teach them. They were under inspiration. But at the same time, the person had to make a choice. It was their choice to make. They had both ways set before them. Even back then, you can't say, well, they didn't have entertainment. They didn't have the movies. They didn't have what we have today and what's, you know, what I want to look at. Not that anybody here wants to, but you got to remember that there was sin back then too. There was. So the answers for us are all in the books. They're in all the books. And I want to go today in the second book of Yisrael, this one, the one that's written, the younger version, on page 102. It's chapter 17, and pastor says, young people, for you to see, anything, if you allow it to waste your time and keep you away from your studies, reading, or from prayer or family life in the house of Yahweh, becomes sin. It becomes a god. Yes, you'll become evil like the gods if you allow it to separate you from Yahweh and the studies that he has laid out for us here today. You know, the classes are a wonderful thing to come to. And also, parents can't govern your lives completely. You know, we should do some thinking on our own and think everything through the laws and prophecies of Yahweh that we've been taught, and you won't be having to struggle with foolishness. You really won't. The knowledge that Yahweh has set before us here will bring you out and keep you far away from what deceived Eve in the beginning. Believe me, believe Pastor. What deceived Eve in the beginning is the same thing that's deceiving people at this time. And you can stop. You don't have to allow it to come into your life. And you know, when you think you got it made, you have to brace yourself for the test, because Yahweh will allow you to go through some tests to see if that's really what you want. That if under any circumstance you're going to choose that way of life and not want to do anything else. And here's an important one. You don't find joy or any gladness in material things. You don't. Not that it's wrong to have them if they're used for the work, but the true values of life comes from what we're taught here in Yahweh's laws. In the books of Yisrael, they take you to so many important places, it's hard to stay in one book. You want to go in several. And I want to encourage you to go back to the sixth book of Yisrael, you know, to the Learning to Prophesy series. And it starts in chapter 17. And pastor gives some instruction there. He says, it's going to take some work, but you can do it. You can become priests and prophets or prophets and teachers of the law. And you have to overcome, put some effort, and show Yahweh that his laws, his prophecies are going to be the most desired thing in your life. And let it show through what you do. And in chapter, he explains a lot of things, but in chapter 21, in verse 15, it says, Matthew 6:21, he says, remember Yahshua, he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the true blessings is in the knowledge, the wisdom, the tests, the trials that Yahweh allows us to go through. And this is our treasure. This is what we can really, you know, like one of the speakers says, where are you going to be in 15 or 20 years? How about 15,000 years and 20 million years? We have that to look forward to. And, you know, if anyone is struggling, you can change. Yahshua said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. And you can change, and you can change your heart. You can change your mind. You can make that effort, because this last remnant is the one that's going to be sitting at Yahweh's left hand with Pastor. The ones who'll be helping to have authority over all the universe, they're going to be looking up to us and asking us those questions. And we'll be able to give them the answers. So with this, I'd like you to remember these things and always put your heart in the work of Yahweh. Never let it stop. And I'll turn it over to the next daughter of Yisrael.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Berkalia, and my topic is There Is Hope. You may be seated. Anger, rage, resentment, there is hope. Bullying, suicide, stress, there is hope. Unwanted pregnancy, abuse, no hope, there is hope. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is that hope. It's not just any program. It is a program that is geared towards changing the hearts and minds of an individual. Many teens in today's world have no goals in life. Many are abused, bullied, and with no proper guidance. So they turn to drugs and other risk-taking behaviors. And some even take their own lives. But the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, my friend, will help change it all. Teaching you tools like responsibility so you can learn how to set proper goals in your life. Self-control to where you can stop and think and consider your options and proceed with a choice that will not cause harm to you or others. So with the guidance of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, you have all the tools you need. So the next time when someone comes with negativity, you will know how to let it flow like water floats off a duck's back. We as teens have a purpose in life. We are the next generation, the future leaders of tomorrow. I encourage you to seek out the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program so you can build your character. It's vital in the society we live in today. We have negative influences bombarding us everywhere. We need hope. And my friends, this is our hope. So from one teenager to another, we can do this. And with this, I thank you for your time, and I'd like to turn up to next week.
Shalom, everybody. You may be seated. Today, I'm going to be talking about negative influence. So what does influence mean? According to the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Building Moral Character Unit, page 58. Influence means with the potential to affect the way you think, feel, and act. You may not think about it much, but negative influence is a big problem in our society. A negative influence could be if you and your friends go to a store and your friends start to steal from the store. And they want to put the stolen items in your bag. Or if you went to a party and your friends are using drugs and alcohol and your friends pressure you to use drugs and alcohol, what is the right decision to do? A, say no. B, say nothing. C, say no and walk away from the situation. D, say yes. Audience, please answer.
C.
Yes, the correct answer is C. Say no and walk away from the situation. Any other answer choice would lead to bad decisions and bruises in your life. For instance, answer choice A, just say no. Saying no will still lead you to trouble. Because if you got caught and you were with your friends and you didn't walk away, you would still look like you're involved with the drugs, alcohol, and stealing. So it would just be better off making the right decision, saying no, and walking away. In a show of hands, who in here would want to be a positive influence? Personally, I would want to be a positive influence, so I could be that person who builds people so they don't want to lead to bad decisions, like drug usage, underage drinking, suicide, teen pregnancy, and other deadly decisions the world has to offer. You can get bad influence from music, TV, peers, and even relatives, and many more. Did you know music and TV are the leading cause of violence, making teenagers feel it's okay to do negative things? But it's not okay. Every year in the United States, 200,000 plus teens are killed by drug overdose and drinking and driving. There's only one solution to this problem, is to cut off negativity from your life, from peers, and the world. It all comes down to knowing yourself and knowing the worldly ways are wrong. It all starts here, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, helping people to improve better life decisions. And remember, it is never too late to change. We can make a change. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next daughter of Yuzel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today, I'm going to be talking about something we all don't really think about much, our thoughts. It's true. We really don't think about how our thoughts really affect us. We are always thinking, and every action begins with a thought. Every decision begins with a thought as well. Our thoughts affect how we feel and what we do. Remember the saying in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions, and your actions lead to either rewards or consequences. Our thoughts control everything we do, and it can very well affect the outcome of our future. What we really need to be aware of is negative thinking. Negative thinking is a process where people tend to find the worst in everything and the bad in every situation. I understand this personally because I struggle with negative overthinking most of my life. When you think of overthinking, you may think of weighing every option before you make a choice, but that's not the overthinking that I'm going to be talking about. I'm talking about overthinking situations, conversations, anything that occurs, if hay is different from high, everything. But not only that, focusing on the negative and dwelling on those negative thoughts about myself, the people around me, anything that occurred. And then dwelling on those negative thoughts led to making negative decisions or taking negative courses of actions, which harms myself, the people around me, and makes situations much worse. And I struggled with this most of my life, like most teens do, and so this would affect my behavior, my choices, my relationships, and was ultimately affecting my future. And at the time, it seemed impossible to stop, but it's not, and I learned this. It's as simple as pushing a negative thought out of your mind and then replacing it with a positive thought. It's up to you and it's up to me what we choose about, what we choose to think about. It's not some force of nature that we can't control. You choose to think and focus on the positive or negative about yourself or anything that occurs. So an important step in controlling your thought process is recognizing when you begin to think in a negative way and tell yourself, I'm not going to think this way, and then replace it with a positive thought, and then choose to focus on that thought. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, Character Unit, Chapter 4, page 80 to 81, it talks about watching your thoughts and the vital role your thoughts play in the actions you take. On the bottom of page 81, it says, set your mind to replace negative thoughts with positive affirmations and stick with it. Remember, your thoughts can make a difference. People who think positively about situations are more likely to make right choices and build a positive character. Negative thinkers are more prone to negative choices that corrupt a positive character. So your thoughts really determine the outcome of your life. I read this quote once that said, our thoughts about a situation literally has the power to change the situation itself. That has stuck with me. If I can control my thoughts, I can control my actions and what I do, and whether the situation ends up positive or negative. Another important aspect in controlling the way you think is keeping everything in perspective. A big part of overthinking is making an anthill into a mountain, or making a small situation into something it's not. Keeping the situation in perspective is viewing the situation in order of importance and never overreacting. Take a deep breath, step back, and see the situation for how it really is, not how you perceive it to be. Not blowing a situation out of proportion, giving the benefit of the doubt, and choosing to think positively will help you make the right choice, respond respectfully all the time, and never negatively overthink. So remember, as you go day to day in your life, how important your thought process really is. Think positively about anything that occurs, and be ready to replace a negative thought with a positive one. That will control the actions you take and the future you have for yourself. So let's make sure it's a positive future. And with that, I'll turn it over to the daughter of Israel, who will begin to join.
Hello, everyone. You may be seated. Was everyone paying attention? Okay, I hope you're paying attention because I have a quiz for you. So let's see who was listening. These are some questions from our speakers. The first question I have is this is on conformity. So if you are compromising your safety or bringing harm to yourself or others, is this positive or negative conformity? Negative. Okay, number two. This is on accepting yourself. If you wake up, look into the mirror, and do this, oh my word, my nose is so big, my ears are too large, I'm not skinny enough, oh, I'm having a bad hair day, is that being positive or negative?
Negative.
Negative. Okay, number three, influences. An influence that if you follow can cause harm to yourself or others, or if you, like one of the speakers said, fall for the pitfall, is that positive or negative? Okay, and the last one, if you are a bully, are you a positive or negative person?
Negative.
Okay, how many of you are tired of being surrounded by all of this negativity? Raise your hand. Okay, so am I. Today we are going to change that. We're going to read a few scriptures about being positive. So if you can turn with me in your book of Yahweh to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll give you a page number in a second. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, it's on page 930. And we're going to start in verse 16. Everyone got it? Okay, read it with me. What does verse 16 say? Okay, let's try it again. Verse 16. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And verse 18, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh and Yeshua Messiah for you. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 on page 923. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of righteous report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. Put out the negative thoughts. This is a command. This is a command. Think on the things that have righteous report, virtue, and praise. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Page 918, verse 29, Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt communication, foul language, evil words proceed out of your mouth, but that which is righteous for the necessary upbuilding of the house of Yahweh, that it may minister blessings to the hearers. Sisters, look around you. Everyone in this room is the house of Yahweh. Everyone here, remember, the house of Yahweh is not the walls and the beams and the stones. It's every single person in here. Now, if you say something to someone else that you know you wouldn't like said to you, and when you leave, that person looks down, you did not just upbuild the house of Yahweh. And sisters, that's something we all need to work on and something that we all need to remember. We are the house of Yahweh, and we need to uplift and upbuild each other. Like one of the speakers said earlier, she said, right now, everyone is going through something terrible, something extremely hard. Everyone, and it varies, but everyone is going through something. And right now, we all need each other the most. We do not have time, praise Yahweh, we do not have time to be walking into our workplaces and hearing our sisters saying things that hurt us and break us down. It's time to start uplifting and upbuilding one another. We need each other right now, praise Yahweh. Just bite your tongue. Don't say it. Just bite your tongue. Last scripture, if you turn to Psalms chapter 18. This is on page 440. Psalms 18, and we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. It says, Yahweh is our rock, our fortress, and our Savior. He's our Father, our strength. In you we trust, our buckler, our horn of salvation, and our high tower. Verse 3, we will call upon Yahweh to praise him, and so shall we be saved from our enemies. Sisters, when Yahweh is all these things to us, why do we need to be negative? We don't. We have Yahweh, and he's everything to us. Praise Yahweh. So, sisters, with that, I would like you to all stand. Remember, we are going to be what? We're going to be positive. Praise Yahweh. If that, we'll turn it over to the next daughter of Yisrael Abel.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
My name is Shekiah.
And I am Yatzai. You may all be seated. The title of our speech today is We Are the Clay. And as you've heard from the speakers before us, there are many different things that affect our teens in our age group. The world is filled, in fact, brimming over with negative influences. When we allow these things to influence us, they lead to us making poor choices, and those poor choices lead to negative consequences. Stress, self-doubt, depression, bullying, overeating, undereating, promiscuity, crime, porn, the list is endless. And the venues from which they arrive are all around us. The media, books, movies, magazines, and even our peers can affect the way we think and behave.
Now, everyone in the world experiences stress, right? Yeah. Right. Now, everyone doesn't know how to deal with it. Stress affects children and also those in leadership positions. I mean, how have you, any of you notice when a president is newly elected? When he's in office, he's fresh and vibrant, but at the end of his term, he looks way beyond his age. Exactly. That is because of stress. Now, let's face it. We need all the help we can get to remain positive, to stay strong, and to stay on course.
Especially as teens, because at that point in our life, we are the most vulnerable, as the other speaker had said. We need to learn to accept ourselves, to be comfortable in our own skin, to be confident in who we are, in what we believe, and what we desire in life, to have a positive self-concept. And remember, your thoughts about a situation have the ability to change the situation itself.
But remember, with all she just said, that help that we all need is not going to materialize out of thin air. Our parents, teachers, and others in authority have a responsibility to train and guide us, as we do ourselves, to have a responsibility to learn to become better people. And as the poster says, teenage mouse, I can totally get away with this. And as difficult as it may be to believe, we don't know everything.
We also have a responsibility to use self-control, to recognize when someone is trying to guide us. We have to be humble, humble enough not to fight against every suggestion that is made to help us. Ultimately, it's up to us to choose the life that we want to live. Yes, we must be leaders, but first, we must lead ourselves to make positive decisions. And learn to be our own best friend, because when times get tough and other people are against you or whatever the situation may be, when you can be there to motivate yourself, you will go very far in life.
Now, we're human beings, not ducks. Bad choices, risky behaviors are not going to roll off of us as water rolls off a duck's back. They're going to stick to us like super glue. Sometimes they're going to stick to us for the rest of our lives. We will not be able to escape some of the choices we've made.
Look on the bright side. Every rose bush has thorns, right? Right? Okay. So in the same way that every rose bush has thorns, you know what? Yahweh has a plan. Do you believe in that plan? If you believe in that plan, then you have to stick with it. You have to be humble enough to do whatever Yahweh instructs you to do. Take those suggestions and benefit yourself. Grow from it. Keep things in perspective, because Yahweh says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that he knows the plans he has for us to give us the future we hope for. If we want to see peace, if we want to have security, if we want to see an end put to the death and the misery we see in the world today, we have to stick with that plan. And we have to endure until the end. That means enduring those tests, enduring those trials with a positive mindset.
Now, like one of the previous speakers told us, when times are rough, you need me. When you grow up, you'll need me even more. You're constantly looking for me, but you can't see me. Who am I?
Hope.
Hope, correct. Not only for the world at large, but for here at the house of Yahweh, who are dealing with the day-to-day grind. Indeed, there is hope. But hope only comes with humility. We have to be humble. Humble enough to listen to and accept advice. Humble enough to teach and practice the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And most of all, humble enough to accept the fact that Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. He is the potter, and we are the clay. He has given us this opportunity to live on this planet called Earth, so that we can become in His perfect image, a transformation that could only be achieved through His 613 laws.
And remember, we have to keep our mind focused and remember the big picture. The big picture is for us to go out and teach the universe so that they can also benefit from keeping Yahweh's laws, the peace, the security, everything that we want in our lives, we're going to bring it to them. So we have to keep that as our focus. And remember, when times get hard and you have a temptation to make the wrong choice, not one of us is exempt from the consequences of sin. Not one of us. So don't think that you won't be affected.
Now, we want to leave you with this quote. Do not allow negativity to overcome and shape you. Be humble and teachable so that Yahweh can shape us in who He wants us to be. Remember, He is the potter and we are the clay. So choose this day whom you will serve. Choose Yahweh and serve Him only. And for those viewing us today, we'd like to invite you to the Feast of Tabernacles, which starts at sunset, September 28th, and ends on October 6th. And with this, I'll turn it over to the men's side.
Thank you.